State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
That's how we own it. What's up, family? It's your girl, Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. There is the most heat wave ever going on in New York City.
The most heat wave ever.
The most heat wave ever. Like I called my parents and told them, abort mission. Don't go outside at all. Okay, where are they planning on going? It's too hot.
Yeah, God got the heat on hell. The heat is on hell there, man.
And it's everywhere. But you know, it's so funny because all of these folks, and I'm not going to say which party they belong to, which political party they belong to, but there are many people in a particular political party that do not believe that climate change is a thing, right? They don't believe in it. And global warming, if you will. And it's crazy because the other day I was traveling from New York City to New Jersey and the rain came. Like as I was leaving the house, I noticed that it was about to rain. But you know, I'm a good driver, so I wasn't worried about it. So I get in the car, start driving, and eventually the rain starts coming down. When I tell you, the storm was like nothing I have been in, and I have been driving now for however many years, 20 years. I have been through, storms, traveling, everything. I've never in my life drove through a storm the way that this one was. Water was coming on the bridge. And the reason why I mentioned I was going from New York to New Jersey, you know, you got to cross the George Washington Bridge, unless you take other routes, but the George Washington Bridge is the major artery. And the water was coming off the sides of the bridge onto the cars. So that means that the tide was so high, the water was up so high that it was able to splash back and forth on each side. Then getting through, through the bridge, you know, you go through a tunnel. So when you get in the tunnel, obviously the tunnel is all the water around it. There must be holes. I don't know what was going on. The water was splashing, was coming. It was pouring out of the tunnel and out of the walls onto the vehicles. So the water was coming like in from the sides. And in order to get to the George Washington Bridge, there's this particular area in the city. It's like in Washington Heights, you know, the area, I guess that is where Columbia Hospital is. And it's like under the George Washington kind of. The water was up so high there that I was driving my car, which is like a mini SUV, through like a flood that had the water almost at the windows on the side of the car. It was stuff, dirty ass New York City rats going through the water, swimming. It was really, really crazy outside. And so for people, and then you turn around and you have that storm 2 days ago, and then this heat wave happening now. You can't, in some way they said across the country, there was an ice storm that happened in the last few days. You can't tell me that something is not happening with the ozone. Like there is a problem.
It's definitely, the weather is different. Like, you know, been around a long time and I haven't seen the shifts in weather, you know, this way. One day is at nighttime, it was damn near like 60 degrees. You know what I'm saying?
It was like cool.
It was mad cool. It was like 90 degrees and then it was getting 60 degrees at night. It was just weird. Yeah. It was like fall kind of. Like fall was approaching. It's just the beginning of the summer. So it's definitely been a lot of changes with the weather. Anybody who doesn't notice that, you know, is crazy. And that rain that day though, I didn't leave my house. I looked out the window and was like, nah, I ain't going out there.
And you know, in the Bronx, it was so much water.
The sinkhole.
Right, that it made a sinkhole, a big sinkhole. The sinkhole was there. And then all of a sudden, a van fell into the hole. Isn't it crazy? We should really make sure that the clip of this situation gets into the show for those who are watching it visually, because there's a car that is right in front of the van and the bottom of the car falls down, but the car somehow is like hanging on. I'm like, and I looked at it, I said, ain't that life? Like you, everything falling out from behind or underneath you, but you still
understand. That was me, that one car was me. Somehow half the wheel is in the hole, but we ain't in the hole.
We ain't in the hole, we in the hole, but we ain't in the hole.
We ain't in the hole, we made it.
Yo. Crazy. So let's get into our news stories. I found this thing online that was just crazy. This protest was happening in China. And, you know, there's so much going on. There's so much trauma. You know, before I even tell this story about China, today I opened up my social media in the bed, as we all probably do, checking to Instagram before getting out the bed early this morning. And the first thing that popped up on my timeline, not the second or the third, I didn't scroll. It was the first image I saw was a man bloodied. The police had beaten him to the point where he was bloody all over everything. Just his sockets were all busted out. And I said, yo, I can't. Like, I cannot start my day every day with this. So it's like, this was when you get into, it's like, you can't even open Instagram. You can't even open social media because it's traumatizing. So the day I saw all these people protesting and I was like, and of course I saw that they were Asian. So I'm like, let me watch this and see what's going on. What are they protesting? And then I read the story and basically the banks froze these people's money. I don't know why. I still haven't figured out what happened, but they froze the people's assets and the people can't get their money, their life savings. So they went to go protest. A lot of Chinese people were standing there, probably, you know, thousands of them, or maybe it was hundreds, but it looked like thousands. And the police whooped on their behinds like they're wrong for protesting about their money.
Listen, the institution of police around this world is crazy, man. These people done took these people money. Their money been held up in his bank for a long, long time. They life saved. Like, imagine your life savings in the bank and they just ain't giving it to you. And you peacefully protest and the police come whoop your ass for peacefully protesting to get your money. It's crazy. It just don't make no sense, man.
But in China, that's how they roll.
Listen, ain't look too much different than what we seeing out here. The poll, like they said,
unless you are an insurrectionist at the Capitol.
Oh yeah, they open the door for you. They tell you, they give you directions and everything.
Sure do.
Like Michael said, the police been whooping heads on over here, and they whoop some heads down there, man. Police is whooping heads all over the place.
We just are a week away from the birthday, the 26th birthday of Jalen Walker. It's so sad. It's like, poor Jalen. Like, does the world even remember Jalen Walker anymore? We, you know, people have moved on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And it takes so much work nowadays to make sure you keep, you know, these folks, these unfortunate, which have become sort of hashtags in the storyline, and keep them on TV and keep them as part of the dialogue. And folks get mad. Oh, what y'all doing? Y'all using the cameras. Imagine if we didn't find ways to bring Yandy with the Love and Hip Hop cameras, and then Portia with the Real Housewives cameras, and all the other stuff that we did to keep Breonna it's no way that Breonna Taylor would have stayed in the news, especially since we know with Black women that Black men, their stories start to sort of push ours out. Like, when Black women are killed by the state-sanctioned violence, it's like those stories don't last at all, if they make it at all. Black men, of course, it's still a struggle, but it's definitely more attention paid to Black men. So what would we have done if we were not able to create our own media and bring people around Breonna Taylor? And now that's how I feel about Jalen Walker. It's like, now his 26th birthday has passed, and, you know, it's way too soon for him to just be a storyline that happened. You know, he needs to be consistently in the press. I know that on his birthday, the attorneys call for the Department of Justice to get involved, you know, and they should, because the police will, their excuse is going to be that there was a gun that he had and they saw a shot fired. And you keep asking, where's the ballistic report and all of the stuff? Maybe it's there. You know, it's so much. And my aunt lives in Akron, and some other family members, and listening to them talk about the story, they are getting information locally and from local news. It's very different from what we're hearing nationally. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very different. So the story is even worse when you listen to the local side.
Well, I know that a man was shot over 40 something times. That's what they're saying. I still think 60. I know there was 90 round shot at the man. And for us not to continue to talk about that, for that not to be in the news cycle, is crazy to me. And that's why people talk about, like you said, they say, oh, y'all doing this for news. If we don't do it, you know, if we don't really take that responsibility, and we don't get in front of these cameras and say these names and make sure that these families and situations are highlighted, then it's swept under the rug. It's so many people that you don't hear about, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, y'all go for the, you know, what we try to do is bring attention. We try to bring awareness. We understand, you know, the injustices that are happening, and families don't have the proper recourse or the proper platforms. You know, they don't have the media. They don't have someone to elevate their voices. So when we come in, that's always what we try to do, man. And it's sad, like you said, to see that on his 26th birthday, you know, he's basically not even in the news cycle anymore. Nobody's talking about it.
Not enough.
It's common. Like, it's just okay. It's not enough. You know, it's not enough outrage. Like we say, we're not outraged enough.
We're not. That's our brother Angelo's attorney, Angelo Pinto. I always have to correct myself. You know, that's the statement that he made. And we're not outraged enough. So it's our job to keep saying Jalen Walker's name. And we will do that. And we think the Department of Justice absolutely needs to pick up this case and investigate it directly to really see what went on. The attorney, Robert DiCello, he says after the funeral, we did a press conference. He said something that was very interesting that I never even thought about. He said the officers got a chance to go home, right? and watched. They were, no statements were taken there on the scene from all of these officers, at least 13 of them. They got a chance to go home and watch the news, which is where the press conference was done from the police department, telling the world their side of the story. So now they listen to that. They understand how to collaborate around it. And they're all going to say the same thing that the department has put out there as an official statement. I mean, it's so evident. It's so clear, the cover up. So, you know, definitely the Department of Justice needs to get involved in that. And my heart goes out to, you know, Kristen Clark, who is the head of the Civil Rights Division for the Department of Justice, because even though she's a friend and I love Kristen Clark, but I still have to also apply pressure on her, which we've done. We're doing it on Breonna Taylor. We went and did a protest there and you know, went to her office and demanded to serve them with our petitions that people all over the country signed saying that the DOJ needs to get involved. And there's been a number of other cases where we've done the same. We unfortunately cannot give that sister, you know, an easy time while she's in office, but it's a lot of a burden to carry as a Black woman to be the head of a department that has so many issues coming in the door every day and trying to make the right decisions about which cases you're going to go after, which cases you're going to investigate. It's hard work, but it's work that she wanted to do. And there now we all have to hold her responsible.
Exactly, man. That's why she got in the office. You know, we seen something in her that identified with our struggle, that she had been on these front lines. She had understood a lot of what we were dealing with. And that's why people put her in office now. So, you know, I know it's going to be tough, you know, because and this is why people are like, hey, you need to run for office. I don't want to run for office because I don't want to be bound by any politics. I don't want to be bound by any system that, you know, pretty much I have to deal with what I know is right. And then I know what the system is saying to do. So she's in there trying to balance this and be as fair as possible, but then go within the system that she's in. So it's a lot.
In the system, working for Merrick Garland, who's another person, you know, he's the attorney general. And I believe that Merrick Garland wants to do some of the right things. I mean, first of all, we have to be real clear and make sure that we say that they have been filing cases.
Yes,
they've
sir.
Been filing cases. In the Parchman prison situation, where we called for, along with Roc Nation and a bunch of other people, Yo Gotti, when we called for Parchman to be investigated, the Department of Justice came out saying that the civil rights of incarcerated individuals in that prison were being violated. So there's been cases, there's been situations where we see the Department of Justice stepping in. It's not enough, though. It's not enough, right? And I don't know when it ever will be enough. But again, to your point, hey, and she actually was appointed by Merrick Garland to be the head of the Civil Rights Division. And she had to go through a whole lot of questioning in order to get confirmed by the Senate. And one of the things they asked her about was her relationship with me. It was on the record that they challenged her about signing a letter on my behalf to support me during the time when I was under attack, you know, with the Women's March. So they really, you know, they gonna kick everybody, all sides are kicking the doors. And, you know, it's important that the Department of Justice stay focused and they need to do their jobs. So that's that on that. Yeah. Next is the street renaming for Eric Garner. In Staten Island, they renamed the street for him. I saw Miss Carr, Gwen Carr, you know, looking like she was just so proud, you know, that something happened to always put a stake, a claim, if you will, put a stake in the ground right there in that space for her son. And I saw somebody online like, why do we choose these symbolic gestures, or why do we settle for symbolic gestures? It's not a settling. That lady fought for justice, and her grandson, Eric Garner Jr., he also is a part of this. They fought, right? Their daughter, his sister, what's her name? Erica Garner, she died fighting for her father. They did all that they could do. So the street renaming, while yes, it's only symbolic, it's not going to bring back Eric, and it certainly doesn't give him justice. They deserve that also. They deserve the streets to be renamed. They deserve the money they won from the lawsuit. They deserve guilty. They deserve convictions. They deserve all of that. And we, unfortunately, we can't control getting each one of those things as we would like for it to be. But when we do get certain things, it's important that people, when they, especially on Staten Island where all those cops live, because you know Staten Island is heavy police. Heavy. And the fact that they have to drive down a street named after a Black man that they killed and disregarded, right? And smeared his name, even though that may not be real true justice, but it at least is something. It's a gesture that those individuals would not be comfortable just living when they go to Google, when they tell their family where to how to find their homes. They're gonna have to say Eric Garner way,
yeah,
as a part of, you know. And I'm not saying again that I think it's the best thing in the world, but those folks, they didn't just settle. They fought and they continue to fight. And Ms. Garner is everywhere around this country fighting for other families as well.
And that's the truth, man. Like you said, you know, it's not, I'm sure that we would definitely rather have Eric Garner, right? Instead of the name on the street. We would rather have justice for fire Daniel Pantaleo. We would rather have him inside a prison. You know, we fought for all those things. But as we get something, some level of acknowledgement, you know, to make sure that he didn't die in vain, that he's immortalized, that the story of Eric Garner will be told, that that block will symbolize what it is that they lost and what it is that he represented to this world, and how he ignited fires through this city and got people to really fight for justice. You know, we don't want to take that away. You don't want to see, when you see a mother smiling that her child's name is somewhere, knowing that she hadn't smiled for years, knowing that we normally see Ms. Carr on the front of a newspaper because she's right. Sad about a situation. You know, she's receiving bad news that they're not going to fire the officer, that they're not going to prosecute, right? So when you're able to see some level of comfort, let that lady enjoy that. You know, it's not about you. It ain't about what you think, right? Maybe you don't want that. But this family gets to enjoy the little things that they do because they've been through so much trauma. So, you know, congratulations on that. You know, our heart goes out to that family, and we still want justice, and we still want the officer locked up. And hopefully we'll get, you know, a district attorney in New York City that we can look and reopen this case and actually get some justice for Eric Garner, because that's still the goal.
That's right. I don't know. Is that possible? Like, we should really, really look into that, because there are new district attorneys. Like, what could they do? I don't know. Maybe they can't. But that's a good question. We should find that out from our legal experts. Like, what can be done?
There's no statute of limitation on
because the Department of Justice said they weren't going to do anything.
They never filed any charges. So it's not like double jeopardy. If they look and say that they reviewed it and they decided that they want to file charges, you know.
Hey, I doubt that anybody is going to be
like that. We're saying we told them to open up all of cases that certain lawyers have done.
That was for the Central Park Five. We said that the new district attorney, Alvin Bragg in New York City, needs to open up the files of the previous administrations to see whether or not what happened to the Central Park Five has happened to other people, you know, in New York. And we know that it has, because there's one guy in jail who basically reported that the same coercing and threatening that happened to the Central Park Five happened to him. And that's why he, you know, was serving time in prison. So that's that. Anyway, the Sesame Street case, and we should talk about this today because there's a lot happening. And over the last few days, I think the bombshell has dropped. And, you know, folks who don't know about what took place at Sesame Place, pretty much a family, a Black woman, was there with her niece and her daughter, both of them 6-year-old cute little girls, beautiful little princesses. And they were on the line at the parade waiting for the characters to come down. And this character high fives a white woman. You see
Rosita.
Rosita. You see her it, her, well, I guess it's her because she is the character, but we don't know who's behind the character. But nonetheless, Rosita is interacting with different people and all of them appear to be white folks, like right in that very short period of time. Once she gets to these two little black girls, she says no to them and like shuns them off and avoids them altogether and walks past them. What we now know is that she went directly after the family to a white person and hugged them, right? So it's very clear the discrimination that took place. However, and it's unfortunate that we're in a time where we need video footage that pretty much shows every single thing, because the mother said, Jody said, that the character went, Rosita went to a white family. People say, oh, I don't know if that's true. I can't say for sure. If that, you know, you don't have video. Okay, so now there's footage of it. But even before that, just the experience, I didn't need to see what takes place after. All I needed was just right there, that that interaction, it was just dead wrong. And so Until Freedom, we got involved and we issued a warning telling other families, Black families particularly, but also our allies, to be careful when considering where you want to take your children this summer, your vacation time, and make sure you know that at Sesame Place, they are discriminating against Black kids. And of course, all these other videos have come out where you see the same thing happening with the same character and some other characters in other situations. It's really, really unfortunate. And we're standing with Jody and the family. We held our press conference together last week. Like I said, this new information is out there. And, you know, I just, and you know, and it will, and we're talking about racism today on the show, but I'll say this last thing. I saw a couple people in the comment section like, well, I went there with my family and it didn't happen to me. You know, I don't know. And it's like, what is, why do Black people always feel the need just to, not all Black people, but some Black people feel the need to try to explain away Massa's problems? Like, why? Let Massa is not even willing to apologize and deal with their own problems, right? And I say Massa being very, 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 very sarcastic, because you ain't nobody's Massa of ours. But the point is, the mindset is like, we just want to defend them so quick. And it's just crazy.
It's just crazy because, you know, there are so many people, right, who are either blind or ignorant to the fact of what racism is, right? You have some people who will tell us that that's not that serious and that we're overreacting, right? And when you deal with those situations, when we talk to Jody and her response as she watched her niece and her daughter being discriminated against, being in that situation, you know, you don't get to tell somebody what they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have so many different Black people, like you heard the comment, Lil Wayne talking about he's never experienced racism in America. You know, you hear Kanye talking about slavery was a choice that we get people who have different realities, right? Some of them have more money. They, you know, they're idolized in certain regards. So they don't deal or just choose not to acknowledge what common Black people are dealing with, just regular Black folks every day. And there are, you have people like LeBron James where they write a nigga on his gate. You know what I'm saying? Racism is a serious thing, and it's not something that just, oh, get over it. You know, y'all just overreacting. It's not that serious. No, it is that serious, you know, because other people don't experience that. Other people aren't discriminated against by just because the color of their skin or because of where they live or because of how they look, you know. And just watching that video, man, it really pained me. And then seeing the little girl, you know, at the press conference and meeting Jody and just seeing how they are just seem like good people. Mm-hmm. You know, people are trying to say that we use racism as a shield, or, you know, we, what is it that they say I do? I'm race baiting.
Race baiting.
You know, race baiting. You're a race baiter. And it's like, how can I bait something that ain't there? How, I'm race baiting. I'm not the person dealing with these situations. Right. I'm not causing it. Right. Yeah, I'm not the perpetrator of it. So how am I exposing it? I'm showing you what we deal with on a regular basis every day. And people want it rather willing. Willful ignorance is a thing.
Yeah, you know, it is. It is. And the family is saying they don't even, they're not even trying to file a lawsuit, right? They're not filing a lawsuit for $1 million, $2 million. They're saying, yes, they should be compensated by the park. The park should be willing to just give them something that covers the mental health support and some of the pain and suffering of the children and, you know, and what the, and their mom and your aunt and mom and what she experienced, but they're not even looking to file a lawsuit. They want people fired and they want changes within the policies within the company. And from what I can see, hopefully we'll get to talk to our guests today about this. They need a new PR specialist. They need training from the top of Sesame Place all the way to whoever works, you know, wherever. Every single part of the business needs to go through some type of training and assessment. Because, yo, like the statement y'all put out has caused additional harm. So it was like, it was already the insult and now there's injury beyond that, or there was already the injury and now there's insult on top of it. It's just crazy. We should talk about the history of Sesame Place, because what we know is this is a show that started in Harlem, right? Or it was about Harlem. It's so many things that we know about the history of this business that we need to talk about. But our guest is joining us.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here. That's how we own
it! So, you know, we have this saying on Street Politicians that our guests, so many of them are our friends, because every single week we talk to people who are doing incredible things all around the nation, people who are so important to our movement and our culture. And it just so happens that they are our friends. They are people we love and know. And in this situation, it's not, you're not just a friend. We're being joined by our sister. Somebody that we love and admire.
My best friend.
Yes, yes, yes. Somebody we love and admire so much. You all may have heard of her. You certainly, if you follow either one of us on socials, especially me, you get a chance to see the beauty and the brilliance of Miss Diddy every single day. And Miss Diddy is not because of the other Diddy. She just Diddy. On her own. You just Diddy. And she is a master marketer, someone that the influencers and the artists of our time and corporations and the like turn to for expert advice, expert organization, and also activations. And her company, The Brand Group, is really a cutting edge marketing firm that is doing amazing work, not just in LA, which is her home base. And she surely will tell you that she is from LA, but it also does great work internationally and nationally. And so welcome to Street Politicians for the first time, our dear.
Won't be the last. We're a little late. You should have been here about 2 months ago, but you know. Longer. Mine, not the heart.
Yes.
I will.
Thanks for being
here. I'm so honored to be here with y'all. I mean, I'm going to take that recording, and that's going to be my introduction across the way in the world, okay? Now, that lady is good.
The lady is good.
I'm honored to be here with both of you guys. Definitely. Family is a word that can't be thrown around as it relates to us on this Zoom right now. We all take it very seriously with each other. And beside me being extremely honored to be here with you guys, I respect you guys so much. I admire you. And I'm inspired by you guys personally, business-wise, day-to-day, month-to-month. And so I love you guys so much. And that's a real word coming from me to you guys. And I know it's the same on the other side.
First of all, we want to say that we love you and we appreciate you. You know, you honored us a few weeks back at, you know, and it was amazing. The whole event was dope. You know how to shut it down. That was probably the favorite event of the BET weekend.
Toast to Black Hollywood.
Yes. Was the top event that I've been through. No shade to nobody else. Everything was good.
Shade.
But Diddy had the best event. And thank that's just right. Hands down to from me to you. So we want to celebrate you. We know all the work you do. I just want to know, for the people, where did you get this name, Miss Diddy?
They've called me Diddy and Diddy Bop since high school. So it's like a very aged name for me. I won't give a full long details on those years back then. But it's been that way for so many years. And it just kind of worked out to, you know, of course, people like she's like the female puff or something like that. So it just kind of worked out. And thank God, because I mean, thank God I do really good work, because he would have completely shut it down, of course. But like,
right, like, you know, like no. Ain't no other Diddies.
Ain't no other in this world. So yeah, I'm grateful that I've actually, you know, withheld the name and, you know, the integrity behind it. So that's pretty dope because it could have went left early on.
Yeah, Puff, you know, Diddy, he don't, if it don't work, he didn't like, who that? Nah, she can't use that name.
Nah, yeah, they can shut it down.
He knows how to help market you and help not market you. Cut it down. Either way. And actually,
hours is important to have.
And actually, you work with Ciroc.
Ciroc De Leon. I've actually worked with Ciroc on multiple facets for probably like 10 years or so, because there was other people that worked in the company, and Nathan worked with Puff for a long, long time. And I would do, I've always worked with brands, liquor brands and spirits, because of doing so many events and being a promoter and things like that. So I just always had really great relationships across the board. So I've worked with all of them, but I've definitely worked with Ciroc for a very long time in different facets.
I just want to say one thing, that yes, you had the number one event during BET weekend. However, yes, I have to give you a close second. You were like 1A, and then there was a 1B, and that was that damn Club Quarantine, because it was popping.
Oh yeah, I know it was popping. Y'all was there. The folks was there at 6 a.m. and stuff.
It was amazing.
I was too tired.
Now you can't be tired at Club Quarantine. Ain't no.
No, you got to stay up, Mike. And that's the thing. I couldn't. I said, y'all, listen. Okay, I got to stay in this here bed. I tried to make it out in my mind. It didn't work out.
And you have a wonderful relationship with D Nice as well.
Yes.
So you know you know every damn body. Who doesn't
do everybody? Everybody. But you know what? Being a promoter early on in my career allowed me to have really dope relationships with a lot of people in different times in their careers. You know what I mean? Like early on in their careers or later or whatever, you know. Jazz Prince has always been a really great friend of mine. So when he had Drake early on, he's like, you gotta meet my artist. Like everyone is like that. So if I'm cool and we're cool and we have a good relationship, we just keep the relationship. So like, I know people be like, you just know everybody, but it comes from all different sides of the world. You know what I mean? So,
You started out being a promoter.
Yeah, I was a promoter. In the beginning of my, I actually worked with Ye first when Good Music, when Kanye started Good Music. So I did like the West Coast promotions over there. And then that kind of segued me into promoting. And because I always had a marketing mind, or like I could see things, you know, kind of on a grand scale. And I've always been a visionary. It made me in promoting really important. And really kind of irreplaceable in nightlife because of the way I looked at it. You know, I wasn't a guy promoting. I wasn't trying to get with the girls or drink or anything like that. There's a lot of great guy promoters, but my brain in it was like, I want to make a movie every single time I do a party. I want it to be like this. It needs to be this big. It needs to feel like this. Like I knew media, like I was really the first promoter to really bring in blog awareness and blogs to nightlife. That didn't really exist back then. And also like a camera, you didn't really bring cameras into the clubs back then. That wasn't like a thing, you know, like you didn't really do that. You know, it was like you felt underground in a club, right? So like I put cameras in the clubs. I wanted to shoot promo videos that looked like rap videos. Like that wasn't done before I started promoting back in the day. And so it's took on a life of its own, and everyone kind of markets in that way now. So I'm glad to see the evolution of it. Nightlife is important.
So
go ahead, Mice.
No, I was about to ask you. So as a woman promoter and a woman ambassador and brand, do you feel like it's harder? Do you see like sexism within the industry?
Or? Yeah, sure. I mean, 100%, you know, and the thing about my career and my personality, like you guys know me extremely well. So, you know, my assertiveness really led in a lot of areas. You know, I'm really sweet and I'm really graceful, but my assertiveness led in areas, and it really, it helped kind of shut down things, you know, because the thing about it, I say this and people don't like this, but it's true. A man can never like, and understand the word respect what I'm saying. Like, view a woman or respect a woman the way he'll respect another man. It's just, it's, I don't think biologically a man can do it. And it's not that they feel disrespectful to a woman. It's just that to a man, to, if they're a man to woman, there's no threat of violence. There's threat of violence man to man. You see what I'm saying? So there there's a level of respect that's going to be withheld a man to man. And biologically, we're held in a different light. We're a woman, you know? So for me, my personality led, and my respect, and I was grateful and able to work and build and become successful in the city that I'm from, you know, and sometimes that doesn't happen that way with people. People either move to Hollywood, move to New York, move to wherever and try to become what they're trying to become. But I became successful in the city that I'm from. So my ties and all my different areas of my ties also protected me. You know what I'm saying? I was like, nah, don't mess with my city. We already know what, you know what I'm saying? What she tied, you know, don't be playing with that, you know? And so it worked out, but it's a lot of sexism. And, you know, women, they ask me, you know, what would you, cause they want to take on the, what I've done in my career. And it's like, I don't encourage it all the time. I'm like, you gotta be realistic about this thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could check a man, you know, in a way, and that is clear. But a lot of women can't do that. So
I don't feel comfortable. But do you feel like it's harden you? Like, sometimes I feel that.
Sure.
I remember being with you at a pool party that was your event in Miami. And I think all of us were there. Everybody was there. All of us were together. And I remember a man, like, trying not to let you get into your own space or do something. And you got into it with the man. And I remember thinking that I go through this all the time. Like, literally, I get disrespected by men, whether they be security, the Uber driver, the all around the place, all the time. And I find myself having to step out of character and I'm trying to learn how to get better, but I find myself like always in a battle. Do you feel like that?
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like, aside from what I said about men respect and what they feel about a man versus a woman, aside from that, I think the value of women is so depreciated. It's so at an all-time low that it's hard for men to look at women for the gracious gift that we are. Not all men, because there's some, like mine, it's like I have great homeboys, I have great relationships with men, great chemistry with men that protect me and I feel safe around, and they don't handle women that way. But I think as an overall thing in the world, I think women are at a very low devalued place right now. And I think that affects the way men deal with women around the world, because I also, in my environment, if a man knows who I am, I don't got no issues. But if he doesn't know who I am, we might have a little cute dress on or something like that. And then now I got to check you on you understanding that I'm not one of this out here that's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember yesterday I went to stop through Mookie Betts and Nelly's all-star after party or whatever, just for a second. And so I'm sitting down in the section, man comes up and he's like, you here to party? No, I do business. I'm not, don't, you know, go that way.
Don't confuse me.
Don't confuse me. But it's hard because men are, the value of women is low, especially Black women. It's low.
Well, I want to say, and I apologize on behalf of men, because, you know, I see it all the time, like being with y'all, being around women, you know, I constantly find myself having to check and get into situations or, you know, intervene. So, you know, but it's a process, because it took me to kind of even notice those things were happening, right? Because, you know, what do we call it? What is the word that you always use to describe
patriarchy?
Patriarchy. Patriarchy is something that we've just been taught, right? We've been taught to look, like you said, there's no threat of violence when you look at women. There's no threat of anything. And then you look at a woman, especially if she's a pretty woman, then your first instinct is to kind of flirtish or do something, right? So it has to, we have to get to a level of really just acknowledging and just understanding that we got to teach these young boys that, because
yeah, they don't know
that, because we was taught wrong. A lot of us was taught
right.
to deal with women from a lesser place. To, you know,
yeah,
that's a woman, a man, and a woman is this, and there's a separation. So you know, we got to reteach that and relearn. So I just
want to tell that. Young men, black men all the time, Mike's on the same leg that you're saying. I tell young black men all the time, if it comes to that point, like, yo, do you have a black grandmother? You have a black mother? Okay, so like, why are you even playing? Like, don't even play that, you know? And then they'll check, oh, yeah, exactly. Like, was you raised by your grandmother? Did she? Okay, right. So
why are you talking to me like that? Calling their attention back to your own.
So what they understand, like, you would lose your mind if somebody disrespects your grandmother. Like, you don't play those type of games. So, like, wheel it back in, young man, young mm-hmm. soldier.
Right, because you're in nightlife a lot. And so, you know, I would imagine that you encounter people who are not just, well, first of all, young people, and also some of them who have some money. So they really think that they have the power to do and say whatever they want. And then at the time that you're dealing with them, they're drinking alcohol, so they're intoxicated, or they could be doing other things. And so it's a lot to manage. And since, you know, talking about working with brands, because, you know, obviously, you know, you working with many spirits, you've been able to sort of connect the dots of events with with the culture. You had us at A Toast to Black Hollywood, which are activists, Trey the Truth also, who does great work in Houston and around the country. You know, I call Trey like a human rights leader, you know what I'm saying? And we're in the social justice lane. And so you brought all of those things together. Talk about that and how you see not just the entertainment world, but also your social justice friends and your activists and others coming together with brands.
You know what? That was always important to me because it's who I am. It's all pieces of who I am, every person, right? So even when I was promoting, like, people would just focus on maybe a one person to promote. So I'd be like, no, like, my A&R friends were just as important to come as the celebrity who you think you're inviting or whatever the case may be, because all of these pieces of people are exactly who I am. Like, I'm a church girl. I'm gonna go to church on Sunday, honey, but I'm gonna have me a sidecar. You know what I'm saying? No, later on, and I'm gonna have me a good time, and I'm gonna go to Miami, and I'm, you know what I mean? And so I don't think that you have to not be exactly who you are. And so my friends happen to live in all of those spaces. Like, I'm close to my pastor, I'm close to my social justice friend, I'm close to my singers and rappers and artists and actors. And
the mayor,
like, you know, and all of those worlds coming together, only that is what we actually are. That's who we really are, you know what I'm saying? Even Maverick City, the biggest gospel group in the world, and my Kirk Franklin is my great friend, you know, and so is, you know, not to compare, but so is Meek Mill, so is, you know what I mean? And so those the world in rooms that I created in the 15 plus years of my career are all pieces of exactly who I am, and that was always important to me, that people see each of you guys in the rooms together, because you're all one. Like, so many people were so excited to see my son. Like, I never even got to tell you that. So many, even rappers, like, I seen a picture with you and Simba, and like, you and Benny the Butcher. It's like those, and then just see everybody was so excited. And it's like, those are the rooms that are important, because it's the people that you may not be able to see on a normal, and you're having real conversations. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've learned. Like, even dealing in corporations, brands, spirits, all of that, the real conversations is what moves the needle. And that's why people are like, well, how do you get these brand deals, or how do you get these partnerships? Because I have real conversations with people. Mm. You know what I mean? I just did an event with UBS, the bank, and Mookie Betts. It's like, I have real conversations with UBS, you know, about everything that's going on. You know, United Nations was a client of mine at the time that, you know, of Breonna Taylor's whole thing going on. Like, and I'm having real conversations with these people from all race. I'm not playing none of those games. I'm exactly who I am. And so the rooms that I create are always about all the pieces of me, you know? Mm. And no one being able to be like, you can't do that because you should stand this way or you're that. I just don't believe in that. Like, Black people are magical, you know, and we have so many facets of us, you know what I mean? So the rapper that can also sing but can also act. Like, what if Ice Cube didn't make Friday? What if Ice Cube didn't create the lane where you put comedians and actors and rappers in one movie and make classics? Like, what if that didn't happen? Like, it would change the trajectory of our culture as a whole. You know what I'm saying? So that was always important to me, to mesh those worlds.
It's important to me too, because being starting out as a hip hop artist and then, you know, maturing and evolving into an activist.
Absolutely.
And understanding the importance of both of them, right? Because hip hop,
yes,
it's the culture, right? So if we're not involved in activism, we're not connected to the real meats and potato of what's going on with our people, then what are we doing? So I've had those conversations with people, like you said. I've been in the club and had DJ come up to me like, "What you doing here in the strip club?" And they, "What you doing? The same thing you doing here? I'm giving me a drink. What do you mean? Are you supposed to, bro? I don't know what you think, but you know, I'm of the culture." But I just don't. I want to make sure that my people are treated properly. I want to make sure we get the rights and nobody's killing us. But I'm still going and have me some Hennessy with some Red Bull. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm gonna have a good time because this is who I am.
That's it.
People are so miserable because they're not able to be who they are. You just have to be who you are. Like, I've always been had good relations with all my my casters. Like. And they follow me.
And they know because my pastor, who my son knows, my whole world opens up when he calls me, right? Like, he is my everything, my pastor. And you know, some people might not understand that. And I wish that folks would have an experience with their pastor the way that I have, because when I was in the darkest moments of my life, and I ain't even talking about recent dark stuff. I'm talking about dark stuff that went on that folks don't know anything about. Because, you know, there's dark stuff that you tell the world. And then dark stuff that you don't tell anybody about.
Absolutely.
And he sat in the middle of that with me, right? And was there with no judgment, taught me so much, you know, inspired me in so many ways. But he also will call me and be like, "I see you on the internet with your booty hanging out, like, you know,
put it back here.
Damn, you know, you sure you got to have the whole, like, can you put anything?" And you know, my response is, "You know who I am." And he moves right on, because he knows me. He knows who I am. I'm being authentically me. And it burns people, burns them. And as I'm always saying, most of those who I've heard from about, "Don't put your bikini pictures on the internet. Why you got to do this?" On your personal page, by the way, Until Freedom's page, there's no bikinis on there. Until Freedom's page is all about the work. My page, where this is my page, has all of me on it, right?
Yeah.
So it's gospel, it's twerking, it's bikini, it's vacationing, it is every single element, and it's, of course, the work that I truly believe in. And most of the people who I've heard from that have an issue are men. Most of them are men.
Oh, interesting.
I hardly have heard from any women to tell me to put my clothes on, or don't let them change you. Or, you know, and I, of course, I'm in the comment section, it may be women, men, or whatever, equal. But I'm talking about people I know who have reached out to me behind the scenes to say, "Hey, I'm feeling a way about this." It's generally been men. But anyway, because I know you got short time, let's talk about Doritos. That is a new, you know, venture for you. I was so happy. And yo, we've done so much work just to give people an understanding of how social justice, the civil rights movement, the individuals like yourself, which running marketing firms, PR folks that are like really about it, how we're changing culture, advertising agencies like Global Hue, which is no longer, but at one point, Don Coleman and Global Hue, they were a part of those who helped to shift the tide. They didn't have young Black women out of Compton on no goddamn Doritos commercial. It just didn't happen.
Let's go, Diddy Ness.
Name Diddy. That's name right. Diddy. Right. Tell me when that was happening. Tell me, help me.
Dang, that's crazy. That's true. That's true. Dang, that's crazy. That's true. I mean, they didn't. And, you know, and that, again, it goes to, it sounds corny, but it goes to, like, being exactly who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't be able to have got to this place in my career and where I am with these level of partnerships without being who I am. And the true essence of me is a young girl from the hood, from Compton, that, you know, built my life up brick by brick, didn't have any guidance. My parents didn't set me up. They did what I guess they felt they could, but they didn't set me up, and no shot to them. But it's just life, you know, and I've had to build that up and to go through all the emotions and all the things that it takes to go through business and life. And as you learn, and as you're learning, because you're learning as you go, there's no, I haven't, even in the Doritos commercial, I said, there's no real blueprint for life, because no one sat a book in front of me and said, hey, here's what you do. And even to your point earlier, it's like, no one also said, here's what happens when you get money. Here's what you do when you, it's who do you become at that point? That's what happens with a lot of young Black and brown people that end up getting money. Because no one said, hey, here's what it's going to feel like when you get money. These things are going to change. These things are going to happen, and you're going to have to weather through them to the best of your ability and navigate, you know? And so they didn't have the Miss Diddy's and the Tamika Mallory's and the My Sons of the world. And I'm so grateful that the world has opened up to whereas those opportunities are so prevalent, because we've been a part of their cultures for so long. And my partnership with Doritos, I'm really excited about, because it's a part of their, you know, $5 million pledge, which is one of their pledges to Black and brown creatives and Black and brown communities and everything like that. And they really have put their money where their mouth is. And that's people that I truly choose to be in business with. Not one thing that I said needs to happen didn't happen. Everything has happened. You know what I mean? Like, even down to the commercial, there's a couple components of it. We shot the major commercial in New York with Ego, who's on SNL. She's an incredible Black sketch comedian, but she's a really great actress. And, you know, they wanted to shoot in Los Angeles, of course. And I'm like, cool, you coming here? I'm taking you to the hood. We're going to South Central. And they like, bet. You know, there was no like, oh, well, we're not, you know, we just want to. No, they did. They came down. You know, they pledged $25,000, which is a part of it, to my charity that I partner with, my foundation. I partner with Sola I Can, and they really put their money where their mouth is. And PepsiCo as well. I took the president of PepsiCo down to South Central, Derek Lewis, the Black man. You know, the highest ranking Black man in PepsiCo. He's been there over 30 years. You know, and he has been adamant about being involved in community moves and being present. And he literally took a flight just to come to Los Angeles to go to South Central, in the heart of South Central, to go to Sola I Can, Beehive, and to see what's going on in the community. And he took a 2-hour tour with us there, and we talked about everything. And, you know, these are the moves that I feel matter, right? We could partner with these companies, we can make money with them or whatever the case may be, but I'm forever in debt to them because of the way they've showed up, you know. And this is in a short amount of time. What a lot of people understand, the young lady that I met from Doritos, she's actually on the Frito-Lay site. Her name is Kimberly. She's incredible. Kimberly Scott. Tamika and I were actually on vacation in the Bahamas in December. And that's where I met her, in the Bahamas. She came, remember, she came up to me and she was like, I know what you do. I know your work. I'm a huge fan of your work. We should work together. And I'm like, bad. Like, what's going on, Black woman? Like, what's going on, queen? She's like, I work at Frito-Lay, da, da, da. So we just built there. Tamika flew in the next day. We, you know, she met Tamika. She's, of course, a huge fan of Tamika. And, you know, they've just been, she's been a driving force, a Black woman in that space. She's a mastermind. And she, I tip my hat off to her too, but PepsiCo, Doritos, and everything that has to do in that organization, I'm gonna forever be in debt to, because I've seen with my two eyes in a short amount of time the way they've shown up. And that's people I care to be in business
before
with.
Before you go, Vincent, to your point, because I just gotta stick one little thing in there. Well, two quick things, because I know you gotta go. This is just such a good interview. One, the issue of, like, so when you talk about Pepsi, right? Like, I know them for some great stuff, but I also know them for some areas that they've had to do some serious work on, right? And we don't know
that all those
corrected. Talk about that. Like, how do you deal with brands knowing that on one hand, there may be some real funky stuff going on, but then you see where they're doing good work at the same time? What is, especially from your perspective? And the last thing I want you to talk about, which ain't got shit to do with what we just said, is your fashion. So you can put that at the very, very end.
I told the people we was going to talk about something serious.
We got to talk about fashion real quick before we go out of here.
We going to talk about serious.
Nah, because the people want the full, they want
fashion and serious. Fashion serious, my son. But you know what, Tamika? I have conversations. Because I am an entrepreneur and I am not, and because I serve God and no man, I'm not afraid to have conversations because I'm also queen of, hey, maybe we should have worked together. I'm not driven by an amount, by a status, a person. I'm not driven by any of that. I done told the best of them we should work together. And they, No. Yeah, exactly. Because they're not used to, once you become a certain person or in your role or who you are, you're not used to people dealing with you like that. So I have real conversations and I like to understand missteps, right? I didn't have the full, I'm actually going to now have the full conversation about that because I didn't think about that before with about PepsiCo. Where missteps happen is us not being in the rooms. It's classic examples of us not being in the rooms, right? So when we're talking about this whole inclusiveness and all of this, it's interesting. I watched some of the interview from the CEO of Essence on the Breakfast Club. And she said, I'm not talking about inclusion. I'm talking about Black. Y'all keep that inclusion over there, basically. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Black because inclusion means everyone. But it also means that Black is at the bottom of the totem pole in that inclusion. You know, inclusion means white women, because for a long time now it was just the big boys handling it. You see what I'm saying? So I have real conversations. Where do you sit with things? Where is going on? I remember even in Doritos, there's a woman named McAllen that works in there, and Rob, they're both white people, and they are incredible. And they had to sit in Zoom meetings where I'm sure, well, they didn't look uncomfortable, but it might have been because my approach, my assertiveness, my certainty on, hey, if there's this person working on what I got going on, I need you to understand a couple things. And they took it, and they took it, and they took it with love, with dignity. And they didn't shy away from any of the conversations. They didn't act like these things don't exist, and they wanted to learn. And that's the importance of conversation in all communities, is them wanting to learn, not being defensive, and listening to what we got to say, you know? And so I don't mind having those conversations, because either way, I'm good. God got me. So I'm not pressed either way. I'm not cowering down. I'm not shying down. And I think that's what we have to say. I gave my experiences in racism. I gave my experiences as a young Black woman doing marketing on a high scale, on a high level, with the young white girls getting the accounts. Not saying like that, but it's just the truth. And then calling me to do the work. Hey, Diddy, so we want to see if you can. Oh, you want to see if I can? Because you actually can, you know? So it's really about those conversations and being honest, because trust me, Google's a powerful tool. So they see all these interviews and how assertive I am in my level of communication. And that's not going to change for whoever I do business with.
That's right. You know? And you know what? That brings me to my question. Before you get into this fashion that, you know, because we know you got to get that thing. The question is, we see the Sesame. We were talking about the Sesame Street, you know, the situation with, you know, the discrimination against the young kids. And And then they put out a statement which didn't really make sense at all. You know,
right?
Being someone in marketing, being branding, you know, dealing all these things you're talking about, what would you have done differently? What would you have done in that situation if you was working with Sesame Street?
Yeah.
How would you have
Sesame Place?
Sesame Place.
Sesame Place. Here's the thing. The first of all, yet again, who are in these rooms, right? Who has already witnessed this? Who are making these decisions? Who is hiring? Who mm-hmm. are doing the trainings? Mm-hmm. Who? Where are the?
Are the trainings even happening? Are the trainings?
The trainings aren't happening. That's mm-hmm. a new thing, by the way. That's a new thing so that people can smooth over. I know PR stunts. I know marketing. So those are smooth things. Also, the time of people writing, having these PR stunts, these written things, that's a time of the past. Show your face. Show your heart, right? Because you can also be the president of something, the VP or whatever, and not be in agreement with something that your employee did. Mm-hmm. And you and so it's not about saving face. It's about showing your hand, showing your face, and showing your heart. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, I too am appalled at what happened. And we're gonna take a deeper look. You can also have language around things that don't implicate someone if you don't know their true intentions, because it's all relative. You got to put your fingers up. All of it is relative. If you don't know someone's true, you don't know the character's true intention. They didn't see the kid, whatever. Yes, you did, but fine. But show your face and show your heart. So the typing up a PR letter, we don't want to see that anymore. Mm-hmm. If that was my client, I wouldn't allow them to do that. And if they chose to still do that, I would show my face and show my heart and say, I don't agree. Mm-hmm. I don't second this right here, because it's no longer the time to act as if this is not a true thing. Mm-hmm. And we have to address it, and we got to get ahead of it, and we really got to bully it, you know, and bullying it not from a negative connotation, but we have to take our rightful stand. So mm-hmm. even with you guys being there at the, you know, you guys hop on things right away. And that's why Until Freedom is so important in all the work in our communities, because Martin Luther King is gone, unfortunately. Malcolm X is gone, unfortunately. You know, the Rosa, all these leaders that did these amazing things for us to continue to be, we have to do that work. So mm-hmm. for me as a marketer, I wouldn't allow that to go out. I would say this is bullshit. You know what I mean? Show your face, show your heart. And that's something that we need to really be demanding of people, you know, because we have personal conversations and we say how it feels to us, but we really gotta, it's kind of time. We gotta.
A lot of people saying, and I'm reading these comments that, you know, oh, you're overreacting, you know, it's just about money, it's not racism, you people are, you know, you just race baiting and all these things, and racism is not a thing, and this is just something, like, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing, racism is real, it's evidence, it's in history, like, you can't even talk to those people, that's pure ignorance, and the thing
is, black people that are telling us this.
Because it runs so deep. We've been brainwashed for so long. It's so deep. It's so much deeper than what we could ever really truly unpack and unpeel. And that honestly won't happen probably for another three generations after us, the real full unpeeling, because it's so deep. Like when people, when you get the chance to go to Africa, like we have, you understand how deep it really, really runs. If as a young Black girl, as a young inner city Black girl, my first look at American history was them teaching me slavery, right? Which could be where our American history started, but that's not where my history started. So imagine I didn't understand my history until in my 30s when I got a chance to go stand and look at a pyramid. You see what I'm saying? So understand, you got this shit, the back up here, what we see is so deep. I saw a commercial the other day. It was it was like for Sonics or something. Sonics is like a fast food place out here. And everybody in the commercial was a fun commercial, and the men had dreadlocks. And I was like, I thought, like, damn, I'll never see no men in dreadlocks. Not talking Jamaican. Like my father wears dreadlocks. He's a Black American, but he has dreadlocks, long dreads. And I'm like, we don't ever see those type of depictions. Like, right. That's an upstanding man. He's a good man. He's a clean man. Like, you know, just wears dreads. And I was thinking about media and how we really been brainwashed. You know what I'm saying? So those Black people, they don't even know themselves. I was talking to one of my African friends, and he said, you know what, Denise? I felt bad for Black American women and Black American men. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, because Black American men have an insecurity that African men don't have because they don't even know who they are. He said, I'm from Africa. Like he's an Americanized African, but he's like, I know exactly where I come from, my tribe, my last name, my father, my heritage, my royal, I know all of it. But Black American men, they don't even know. You think you know, but you don't even know.
It makes a difference. Because even though we do know, like we obviously didn't go to Africa green, right? When we arrived, we had a little bit of something with us, not to mention that attorney Angelo Pinto, who's also your brother, was with us. And he is brilliant and, you know, is our historian. So we didn't show up green. But still, after going through the experience and being there, learning the tribes and getting our name and going into the river and bathing in the same water, which was the last place that folks who were enslaved in that area, where they bathed before being sold off. Like, this was an experience that you can never, ever, ever, ever replace. Like, there's nothing that compares to it. So certainly, I totally agree, understand, and appreciate it. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today, because you've given us so much, and we probably could break down every little piece and build shows out on the different things that you've done. But one thing I know is that my grandmother always said to me, no matter what you do and how you feel, and you get up, get yourself together, pull it together. Put some lipstick on. That's exactly what she said. Put some lipstick on.
Lipstick on.
Get dressed and show up. And I know, because you're my friend and you're a very fashionable young lady. And I wonder, over time, has that become part of what gives you joy? Is being able to make sure that when you're showing up, and you're a high-low person, because you'll be like, you do not need a $200 sweater. You could go right over here and get the $22.95 sweater. And then I see you in the $22.95 sweater. And I'm like, yo, that looks so damn good. So it's not about, which you also got a bunch of fly stuff. That, you know, you got it all. You're high, low. But you show up in a certain type of way. And I just want to know, where did that come from as we go out of here today? And what does it mean to you?
You know, I don't think it's a part of my joy. I think it's a part of who I am. My grandparents were very, very clean cut people. And while all my grandparents are deceased now, who they are and their souls, like who they are actually hit me. It's not my parents as much as it is like my grandparents, you know? And I think a piece of my soul lives in that era where, you know, you do take showing up and getting dressed and presentation serious. As a young Black girl doing business, presentation is everything to me. Mm. It's everything for my team, for what I look like, being on time, all of those things. So I take everything serious. And in that presenting, in the way I present, I take serious too, because I have to. Mm. You know, I wouldn't be as, you know, I believe in being buttoned up and looking buttoned up and presenting buttoned up. I think there's a power in that. You know what I mean? Like when you are buttoned up, when you show up, the things that I demand as a business person, I can only demand with showing up looking a certain way. Mm. There's no way I could demand what I demand, expect what I expect, and not take no for an answer without checking off all my boxes when it comes to showing up. So I don't think it's a part of my joy as much as a part of who I am and what I value. And presenting in the way I show up.
Diddy, do you have a boyfriend, Diddy?
Yeah,
you got one for me? Because
I'm that asking, is terrible. Do you have one? You got
another
one?
Show.
It's rough.
That's another show. They terrible. Another I don't have no boyfriend. I'm not even dating anyone. That's the crazy part.
Do you think that working so hard, that's your focus? Like, are you focused? Are you like?
I'm definitely married to my world, but I would welcome in some real shit. But I don't like none of that other stuff because I don't like wasting my time. Now I'm thinking about it, wasting my time with you, and I could be making some money. Now I'm mad.
That's
now right. I'm mad.
Now you're mad.
We are dating. We all dated.
Oh, yeah, we're together. Well, we've been together a long time.
We go together real bad because we've been together. And it's many sisters out here like that. It's so many of our sisters who don't have, who are not even dating. So it's not just I don't have a boyfriend, but I'm also not even dating. And it's unfortunate that there's something about successful Black women who are assertive that is very difficult for us to find the right people to engage with us and for us to engage with. And I know that there's so much of a conversation around submission and we don't have the time to talk about
today. Yeah, I need to come back on and talk about submitting.
And I don't think, you know, any of us have an issue with that because I certainly
I want to be
submissive and I want to be taken care of. You're and submissive. I want to, what they say, what's the new thing? The soft life. I want to live the soft life, but it's not easy.
No, and our souls crave something else. That's why the soft life is tough for you and I. Because our souls crave something else. We could want a soft life, but our souls be like, girl, go to the rough. But yeah, I'm coming back to talk to you about that.
Yes. Well, we just want to say thank you. We love you
so much.
The brilliant Miss Diddy, the greatness. She is the best brand ambassador. She is everything. If you don't know Miss Diddy, please look up Miss Diddy, follow her. She has done such amazing work and continues to evolve into this budding butterfly that she is.
Thank you, bro.
Miss Diddy, the brand group, love you so much. Thank you for being with us on Street Politician. See you soon. Yeah.
Bye, baby. Love you.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring. That's how we own
it! Diddy, I love Diddy. I call her Diddiness. You know, I just love her energy. She is, this is who she is. That right there, that interview we had is exactly who she is all the time. Mm-hmm. She's always looking to laugh. She's always going to say some real shit at the same time. And, you know, and she's professional. So
super professional. She's one of our friends that is really top tier in terms of what she does with her business. And a lot of people don't know because, you know, they, a lot of times women are just discounted anyway and things in the work that we do. But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more that she does every day that never makes it to socials, right? But we get a chance to see her work. And one of the things that I appreciate about her being my friend is that she's extremely helpful and caring. And she always is willing to step in to try to, you know, assist and provide opportunities and resources and ways that she can, you know, build up other folks. And so love her. And I think it was a great interview as well. So what don't you get this week?
You know, we've been talking about racism, you know, and I really just don't get how we're at this stage, right? We're at this time, we've been to George Floyd, we're constantly going through this, that there are people who still exhibit this type of behavior. There are organizations, there are people like Sesame Street that will try to tell us that we don't see what we see. You know, they'll try to tell us that this ain't racist or this ain't that. Or, you know, I really just don't get how people want us to just be quiet. Hmm. You know, how they just want us to just go and be quiet and allow the disrespect, allow the discrimination, allow all of these things to happen to us when history has shown what we've been dealing with. Why do people expect us to just deal with it? You know, why do people just expect us to be quiet and just continue to tolerate this level of behavior? And it's just, you know, the fact that me and you have a job, an organization called Until Freedom, is just terrible.
That's right, that we shouldn't even have to have that.
It's terrible. It's really terrible, like, that we still gotta fight for equality in a country that we damn near built, that we pretty much built, man, every day, man. So I really don't get that. And hopefully somebody can give me some thoughts on this. If you know why people think that we're supposed to just take racism laying down, right?
Wasting your energy because you're going to get a bunch of nuts.
I want to know because I really want to hear, like, we supposed to just, Jalen Walker, you know, he deserved to get shot a bunch of times with no weapon, right? We just supposed to just be
quiet. Say, no, it was a weapon. It was in the car at one point.
Weapon that was in the car that he got shot at while he was outside running. You know,
the you can clearly see there's no weapon on it at the time.
See, we're overreacting. We're bugged out. You know, we just trying to race bait. It's not about race. You know, we watch, you know, Rosita just walk by these two little black girls, and now we see the clear other side of the video that we can see her walk by the two black girls and go to the white girl, and we just supposed to be okay with it. You know, we just want some money. No, we want these things not to happen.
That's right.
You know, that's all. We want these things not to happen. So, you know, hopefully, man, y'all can give me some insight, you know, about what do you think? Do y'all think racism exists? Do you think that we just race baiting? Do you think that we just need to get over it? And, you know, these things just happen. It's just osmosis. It happens. Like, we want to get some of your input on this today's topic. And once again, we've come to the end of another amazing show. Shout out to Miss Diddy for her excellent interview. Make sure you follow Miss Diddy. She's doing amazing things. She is continuing to evolve into one of the best branding experts in the world. And that's the end of the show. Tamika Mallory's not going to always be wrong. My song is not going to always be right. But we will both always, and I mean always, be authentic.
Thanks.
Lou, Street Politicians, number one show. Number one show.
Listen to Street Politicians on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio.
And catch us every single Wednesday for the video version of Street Politicians on iWomen.tv.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.